Hey there, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of The Crankshaft. That's right. Welcome back to the Krusty Crankshaft. And today I just want to take a few minutes and hop into the old Krusty Wayback time machine and take a step back to the early 1960s when things were groovy and everybody was cool, man. Yeah, but what we're going to talk about today is a very special vehicle. And that very special vehicle was a rear-engined Chevy vehicle. It started in model year 1960 and went on through to 1969, I believe. And that model is the Chevy Corvair. That's right, the Chevy Corvair. What a very special car the Chevy Corvair was. It was actually. It kind of got a bad rap there the first model year or so. A lot of people were, rolling them over and getting into accidents. And I guess they had hoods flying off in all different directions and people were getting hurt. And immediately, I guess, GM had corrected a lot of these issues by 1962. So it actually was taken care of by General Motors, but there was a very special guy named Ralphie Nader. And Ralphie Nader, in about 1965, 66, wrote a book, and it was called Unsafe at Any Speed. And it was about more than just the Corvair, but particularly the Corvair, and how it had a lot of design flaws that made it not the safest vehicle on the road. And some of the things that made it not safe were the fact that it did not have a front sway bar, which a lot of vehicles at that time did not. It was rear engine, so it drove very differently than most vehicles that people were used to. It was rear engine, rear wheel drive, came with a manual or a 2-speed automatic power glide. I would imagine it went pretty well in the snow. People didn't, I guess they weren't used to that rear engine, which is very surprising because Volkswagen had great success with the VW, as we all know, for many years before that. Also in Europe, Porsche and some of the other big names, I believe Fiat and some of those other names, that's way before my time, they had some rear engine stuff that was very hugely successful. So I guess the American citizens possibly weren't used to driving this rear engine vehicle. And it maybe did have some design flaws. It had a swing axle rear end. So it had an independent rear end, rear suspension, and front suspension. The rear suspension was known as a swing axle. And the early Volkswagens, the VWs, the Beetles, they were the same design. So the downfall with that was that when the suspension would, not when it compressed, but when it would rebound, it would give the rear tires an extreme positive camber angle. So not negative in at the top, but out being positive. And you had very little tire contact with the road. So they blamed this tucking, if you want to put it that way, a loss of contact with the road as part of the design flaw in that rear suspension. So by 1962, like I said, General Motors had taken care of most of the problems or conditions, problems, whatever you want to call them. They had several recalls to fix issues that the public thought was flawed with the Corvair. And then old Ralphie Nader came out with his book after General Motors had already taken care of the issues and redesigned and corrected a lot of these problems. And there was also aftermarket companies, Empey, who is a big Volkswagen aftermarket parts producer, came out with a left to right, side to side leaf spring kind of setup that helped keep that from tucking and doing that dangerous negative positive camber issue that was deemed to help them roll over. And they also were plagued with oversteer. So how they corrected the oversteer is they overinflated the rear tire. So they would put approximately, from what I have read, 28 pounds PSI in the rear tires and 15 in the front, which didn't seem like a lot for the front. And it doesn't seem like a lot for the back for this, for our standards. But this was back in the day where they had just been coming out with tubeless tires at that time. And so they were biased. So they weren't the greatest tires to begin with, but they redesigned it. They had a second generation. They also made vans. They made a station wagon. They had a pickup truck version. In that time, I believe they sold about 1.7 million of those vehicles. So almost 2 million in about a 9-year span. But just what Ralph Nader, he just kind of killed that poor car. And it probably would have had more success if he had not. It was designed by some of the designers that designed the Corvette. So they weren't just a hodgepodge of engineers that helped design this car. It had a lot of research and development put into it, and I thought it was a pretty good looking vehicle. The first gen, maybe not so much, but the second gen had a Camaro-esque, Chevelle-esque combination, like if they had some kind of weird spawn. It was child, that's probably what maybe you could compare it to. But the reason I'm talking about this car today is because it was actually my first car. That's right, the car that was unsafe at any speed was Krusty's first car. So now you say my first car, so I should have had a lot of experience with this car, and I should be able to speak, you know, from driving it as a teenager. But when I got the car, you have to understand I was about 12 or 13 years old. So my dad got me this vehicle, and I spoke about it in one of my earlier podcasts, but my dad got me this vehicle when I was like 12 or 13 from his buddy, and it was a 64, 63 black convertible with red interior, peanut butter top, tannish color top, and the car wasn't bad. I mean, it really wasn't bad. It needed some work. We lived in Pennsylvania at the time, so it had some rusty floors, some floor pans that had some rust on them, and Pennsylvania has state inspection, so it wouldn't have passed the state inspection at that time. So I was just a kid, and I did drive it up and down the alley. We had an alley behind our house, and I drove that thing up and down the alley a bunch of times on several different occasions, and it was just kind of a straight alley. I mean, again, I was probably 13, 14 years old. I don't know. It was a different time. It was the 80s. My dad was probably with me. We were ripping this thing up and down the alley, and it made it to the 80s. No one ever totaled it, and it had however many miles it had on it, 70,000, I want to say, or right around there. So it survived that. So I don't really think it was that bad of a car, in my opinion. I really liked it. I wish I still had it. He didn't want to finish those floor pans because it was a lot of work. So we ended up selling it back to the guy that he had gotten it from, which was a buddy of his. But that car still to this day holds a special spot for me just because it was my first car. I was a young kid. How many kids get a car? And he probably paid a couple $100 for it, like I said. But how many kids get a car at that age, 12, 13 years old, their first car, where they figure they probably have about 4 years to work on it? And we didn't have it very long. Like I said, we didn't do a lot to it. Tore some things apart. Had a little bit of rust repair on the body that had already been done previously. The fella that my dad's buddy had gotten it from, his family, his grandmother, his father, whatever the case may have been, I don't remember exactly. They were the original owners. So he knew the history of the car. It was automatic, had the 2-speed power glide. But to this day, I still wish I had that car. I really wish I had got a chance to finish that car. I feel that if I hadn't gotten rid of it, that it would probably, I'd probably still have it. I mean, it was a classic at that time. My dad had a 48 Ford in the garage that he had worked on for years. We didn't have a lot of money, so it had taken him about 11 years to get his car partially done. But if I had that Corvair today, I feel that I really would have gotten that thing repaired, and I would have beat the snot out of that thing. It had a flat horizontally opposed 6-cylinder. The original ones were about 90 horsepower. They did have a turbocharged version, and I want to say the turbocharged version was about 180 horsepower, which out of that smaller displacement engine was saying a lot. The turbocharged version, yes, was about 180, and they also raced them. They did some road racing with these things. And I read an article and it said that they did about 240 horsepower, and Yenko actually built 100 of them. I think that the article that I read said it took them about a month to build 100 of these cars because they had to have 100 what they called production, whatever. He produced them for them, for General Motors. So they had 100 of them that they produced for racing, and they were about 240 horsepower. I read that I want to say they were, and they did pretty good. They did pretty well, I guess. in I believe it was the SCCA class, and they didn't really have a class for the rear engine car, an American rear engine car, so they kind of set up a class for that. And it's a pretty interesting story, and I think I'm going to do a second episode on this. I just wanted to make this kind of short and sweet, but just to go back and some of the interesting things that people don't realize that, you know, the American car companies had built. This was a time where, you know, the Mustang was hugely successful, sold millions of Mustangs. Ford had, Camaro had, Chevy had just come out with the Camaro after, you know, a few years after the Mustang to try to compete with that. Dodge was doing amazing things at this time in the 60s and then into the 70s. So I think that that Corvair could have had a lot of potential. They put that thing on some tracks, and I think it could have, the, you know, they could have built some SS models, or maybe, you know, if it produced some Yenko models like the Camaro, where people could have bought these things. And, you know, they, if they, they turbocharged them, maybe they wouldn't have been 240 horsepower, but a 200 horsepower engine in that light little car with a little 4-speed, 5-speed manual, posi rear end, you know, they could have ripped it up. I just think that, you know, if anybody has any questions or comments or something they'd like to add, please subscribe. I'd like to hear your comments, positive, negative, you know, whatever. Any questions, anything you want, you would like for me to talk about, I'm very open to that. I'd like some suggestions. If somebody would like to do an interview, hit me up, man. Give me a message. Like, I don't know. I'm just starting out here trying this out, but I really like sharing what I know. And that was just a little tidbit of it. But I had parts to this thing laying around up to about 5 or 6 years ago. My dad had hubcaps and a bunch of carburetor rebuild kits. When I was an instructor, I sold it to one of my students. His dad had a couple Corvairs, and he ended up repurposing this stuff. The car, like I said, the car went back to my dad's buddy. I don't know what he did with it, but we had tons of extra stuff, chrome bumpers or chromed bumpers that were pretty decent, hubcaps, new wiring harness, carb rebuild kits. It holds a special spot for me. So if you've got something that, you know, created a memory for you, something that you did have that you drove for years, or maybe you still have it, you know, drop me a line. I'd like to do some interviews with people, and I'd like to hear your comments, positive or negative. So, this is Krusty. I'll see you next time. Peace.